Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
It's summer, Marion County is in bloom, and it's time for a walk on the prairie. Let's go in-depth with Marion County naturalist Marla Mertz. Well, Marla, we're here at the prairie by Cordova Park, and is this a perfect day or what?
It's a perfect day. It's an awesome day. Finally, we can see the sky again.
We can see the sky and beautiful flowers here. Does this prairie have a name, or just the Cordova Park Prairie? Or
no, this area was going all through succession over past years, and about 8 years ago, we decided to kind of reconstruct the prairie grasses to hold the soil a little bit better and start taking back some of the areas that were native here. And the prairies are just extremely vital to, you know, to our ecosystems, to how things work in life. And it's just a mecca of wildlife. It's a wonderful place to visit.
And you've got the butterfly garden we're going to walk to here in a minute, too.
Right, right. The butterfly garden, we just had just a little segment of prairie there, and then we became lots more reconstructed prairie around here, and it's just still kind of getting going, but as you can see each year, it just kind of starts blooming, and midsummer into fall is the best time for prairie.
Well, and we're here looking at beautiful, beautiful, tall yellow flowers, taller than my shoulder. What are these?
These are oxeye sunflowers, and this is one of the first sunflowers to begin blooming. And right now we've had the pale purple cone flower and the hoary vervain bloom, and those are really attracted to insects and pollinators, which is quite important right at this time of year. But yeah, we've got all kinds of yellows and purples now, and then as the fall progresses, we'll get into whites and more purples and more vivid forbs throughout the grasses.
Oh, there's some purple poking up over there.
Mm-hmm. That's bergamot. Some people call it Minarda, and it's a very minty fragrance. It is in the mint family. You see it a lot in the roadsides, but the hummingbirds, the hummingbird moths, the bees, a lot of the pollinators really enjoy the bergamot, and it will get really vibrant here in the next week or so with more blooming.
Well, and there's some grass here that's taller than me.
Yes, and it's not done growing yet. We've got big blue stem. We've got some little blue stem throughout here, and Indian grass and side oats grama all through the area here, and they will get above our head. So it kind of gives you a little bit of an idea how the settlers came in. And about 2/3 of the state of Iowa was prairie. And so they did have somewhat of a difficult time getting through the prairie and finding water. But this is the type of areas that took many years for them to figure out how to plow. Because as tall as the grasses are and as tall as the plants are, the root system underneath is just as long.
More in depth after this. I continued my walk in the prairie with Marion County naturalist Marla Mertz. Well, I hope that our listeners can hear the buzzing of the bees. They're busy this morning,
and I know it's not really dry yet, and there's a great spangled fritillary coming in to the bergamot. We've got a lot of different types of bumblebees. We've got hoverflies. We've got some little things called bee flies that have been out that are quite little cartoon-looking characters, and the butterflies, of course, will be laying lots of eggs within the prairie, too, and so it's a great pollinator area here for the surrounding communities. And, you know, just knowing a little bit about prairie, you know, these are the basis of insects and predator-prey relationships and where our foods really begin And so they're quite important. About a third of our food sources come from pollinating insects, and this is the type of area that they need in order to pollinate.
Well, shall we walk down toward the butterfly garden?
Sure. We've got lots of wrens that are just chattering away. I think they're a little bit upset with us this morning, kind of interrupting their morning. But, you know, way back in the 1800s, when settlers would come in and claim their areas, they would pay anywhere from $3 to $10 an acre for prairie. But woodlands would also bring $30 to $50. And they really felt that the woodlands were a little bit more of a livable experience, and began clearing a lot of the river corridors and woodlands out in order to build their homes. And it took a while before they realized that underneath this prairie grass and the years of growth and thatch and decay and continuous grasslands, that that's where Iowa's black gold came from, is the prairie.
Wow, it's beautiful.
We're kind of letting the butterfly garden go back to what it wants to be. It's not being managed too much since it was just a small little area within the park. Now we've got prairie pretty much covering all of the older areas that we've cleared out a lot of invasive species. And so it wants to go back to prairie, and so we're going to let it just fill in and go with what prairie's also been reconstructed. This area was kind of planted in 1998, and it was all planted with native seed and native plants from Iowa, from different remnants and seed collecting and purchase plants from people who actually had native remnants that started the plants for us. So it's changing again. It's not quite so managed. And the deer and the birds specifically like this area. Of course, it was probably one of the best food plots in the park prior to planting some of the other prairie grasses and plants.
Well, it's nice to see milkweed. We don't see a lot of that anymore.
No, and that's something specific that we've really worked hard for. In a lot of the reconstructed areas, we've planted and allowed whatever milkweed appears to stay. That's something that is really extremely important. It's vital to the monarchs, of course, and we've got some concerns with the monarch species at this point and milkweed, but it's also utilized by 20 other species of butterflies as well. So,
yeah, the monarchs need those. I remember, well, when you were a kid too, I'm sure the monarchs were everywhere, and now it's a rare day when I see one.
It is a rare day, and I can see 20 or 30 butterflies around patches of milkweed and maybe one monarch, and so hopefully that monarch will, you know, lay some eggs on the milkweed, and we can get some caterpillars going again. And we kind of worry about that last portion of egg laying and going through the metamorphosis, because those are our migrating monarchs in the fall that will be moving on to Mexico. And the honeybees is also a concern. And although it's not a native species, you know, a lot of food sources come from honey. And I just recently found out that people rent their beehives to farmers for pollination. I didn't realize that you could rent beehives. That was kind of a new story for me. But our native bees and our native insects that have been here around our native plants are just as important, if not more important as well, to continue the prairie and the forbs and the continuous pollination. Last month, we had the National Pollinator Week, and that came right at the appropriate time where we had a lot of bloom, and you could just walk by the prairie or even drive by the prairie and it almost moved. It just began the summer blooms, and there are about 20 species of butterflies, and I think I counted at least 30 species of bees and hoverflies. So it was just really kind of neat to stand in one spot and just see how important these are to the insects. And you kind of think of where would our supermarkets be if we walked in and walked the exterior, you know, in the produce section. It would pretty much be empty without pollination. And even here and as local as well as on the other side of the world, you know, we wouldn't have bananas and we wouldn't have all kinds of different fruits and vegetables if it wasn't for the moths and the butterflies, bees, and even bats. Bats are pretty important, so.
More in depth after this. I continued my walk in the prairie with Marion County naturalist Marla Mertz.
Well, what else do we have of interest in? I guess every plant is of interest, that there's so many here. What else would you like to point out to the listeners?
Well, the bergamot is probably one of the most extraordinary right now. It's one of the things that we like to look for because it is a fragrant plant and it attracts a lot of nighttime visitors to those flowers for pollination. But we've also got the cone flowers and a lot of the composites that are coming in bloom right now, the purple cone flower, pale purple cone flower, we've got yarrow, hoary vervain.
Got some itchweed too.
Yes. And since we kind of let this go a little bit, we've got a lot of invasives kind of moving in, which the prairie plants themselves will start moving them out here in the future. But
that's the one plant I can always identify. Long experiences,
yes,
as a kid.
Yes.
Okay, so this is, what do you call this? The berg?
This is bergamot.
Bergamot.
Some people call it Minarda.
Fragrant, you say?
Very fragrant. It's a square stem. It's in the mint family. And a lot of people even make, you know, aromatherapy type oils and things from bergamot. They use it in teas. They also, you can pick this flower out of honey if the honeybees have a lot of bergamot to tend to and get the nectar from. I can pull out a lot of different flavors of prairie plants, you know, from
in the honey. You
honey.
Can?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. So it's really unique how that whole system works.
What's that tall red?
That tall one is called Queen of the Prairie, and we only had one bloom this year. It seems like they kind of move around here and there, but it is a beautiful fuchsia pink that just, you can really notice it very well through all the purples and yellows and the blooming other blooming flowers here. But yeah, it's quite the beautiful plant.
Well, it's hard to even describe. It's not. It's a bunch of little flowers. It looks like some, you know how some of the girls dye their hair pink?
Oh,
and it's
yes.
Like, it looks like she's the queen of the prairie with this punk, or maybe it's not punk anymore, but that's what I call it, hairstyle.
Yes, it does. It sticks out like a sore thumb. It really does. You can even see just that one plant from the road. And it starts out blooming from the bottom up. And yes, each little seed, or it looks like a seed, will turn into a bloom, and almost every little bloom will have some type of insect in it at this point. And I'm just kind of standing here looking, and we've got some brilliant looking grasshoppers that are golden in color. That's not like your typical grasshopper.
It just took off.
But if you just observe just for a minute, you can see just so many spectacular things here working. And they're working on the holiday. They work every day from morning till night. We've got a lot of black-eyed Susans that are starting to bloom. Brown-eyed Susans, black-eyed Susans. Kind of depends on what seed that you're available to get. But the black-eyed Susans were a native flower here.
What's this yellow, this low-lying yellow plant?
This is a legume, and grows.
Look at all those insects.
There's a lot of different insects, and look, they're all different kinds of bees and bee flies. Some are mimics, you know, and we consider them as pests sometimes, but they're really important, you know, in our daily lives. We just don't think back far enough. We're kind of spoiled with getting foods from the supermarkets. But this is a legume, which is a nitrogen type of plant that it creeps into people's yards and quite a bit. We've got some invasives coming in, but it won't be long before those will be pushed out. The butterfly milkweed is going to be blooming here pretty soon. Oh. And of course, it's another type of species of milkweed, which there's many kinds that the monarchs and other insects utilize. And it's quite beautiful in the roadsides. It's kind of a bright, brilliant orange that you'll see on these types of plants, 20 to 30 different butterflies when it blooms. They'll just be sitting on the milkweed.
Well, it's funny. We've been out here for half an hour maybe, and I feel just all rejuvenated. I feel alive. I feel restored, ready to take on the world. Isn't it amazing how
it is amazing.
Happens?
And what do you smell? Does it smell different here than it did in the parking lot?
I smell flowers. I think I smell mints.
Fresh.
Fresh. Yeah, it smells fresh.
Yes.
Very different. Just
different than your yard.
I'm still actually, that bergamot is still sort of in my senses. It's amazing.
It is. And this is where you run into a lot of your hawk moths and your sphinx moths. And during July is National Moth Month. And so you're probably going to be seeing lots of things that are unique if you happen to take a walk around some of these forbs and roadside ditches. So yeah, it's a beautiful time of year to get out to the prairie. This is the best time from now until fall, you know, to visit your prairies. And you never know, you might run into some pretty cool-looking dragonflies, too.
Thanks to Marla Mertz for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In-Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In-Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.